Okay, be patient with me. I will try to speak a little slow to try to expose God's words tonight. When Pastor asked me to preach or teach tonight, I answered to him, yes, of course, I can do that. And I have already the message for tonight, and that was the reason that I answered so fast to Pastor that I needed to think about that. But the Lord, he didn't allow me to teach that lesson tonight, and he gave me another message that it was first for me. You know, the Lord wanted to teach me or to remind me about this passage in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And you know, this is a verse in the Bible that most of you know. Most of you see and you know that these verses in the Bible exist. You know, but the thing is that sometimes we know that the word exists, is in the Bible, but when we need to use it, we don't know where is it. You know, because we know that it's in the Bible, but we don't know. So, and that showed me that sometimes we have this tool in our hands and we don't use enough. We don't know enough about God and his word. I remember a few years ago, the last time that I shared with you, I shared about the book of Jonah, about God called Jonah. He didn't have any problem to hear his voice, but he felt and obeyed his words. I remember that I shared with you, too, in the passage with young Samuel. He heard the Lord was calling him, but he didn't know that the Lord was calling him, and he went to Eli and asked him. But Eli, too, he said, I didn't call you, because little Samuel thought that Eli was calling him. So finally, Samuel, he recognized the voice, and he obeys God. I remember that I gave you two very important example about the voice of God. One of them hear the voice, but he didn't obey. But the little Samuel, just when he knew that the Lord was talking to him, so speak to me, I'm here, you know. But tonight, I want to go to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. That will be our passage tonight. But again, so I wanted to be concentrated in this verse, in this chapter, in 2 Timothy 3, chapter 3. But the Lord took me to another passage. But I asked the Lord, why you take me to this passage? Because you show me that we needed to talk about these things. Well, Raul, I want to teach you something. And there are four verses, so four different passages that we will see before to go to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And one will be Ephesians 4:22 and 24, Deuteronomy 6:4-7, and Colossians 3:16. If each one of us, we made decision for Christ. Do you make decision for Christ? Are we all believer? Yes, amen. But listen, if each one we made decision for Christ, we know and experience what justification is, right? Justification is a one-time event occurring when we receive salvation and enter into a relationship with God. Through justification, the penalty of sin has been eternally eliminated. However, our journey as a Christian in our battle against sin is just beginning. If each one of us, we experience justification, So we are living in what stage now? In the sanctification stage. Remember, the salvation has three stages. The stage of justification, sanctification, and glorification, right? So we are living the sanctification process. Sanctification is the part of the salvation that deals with our progressive growth. Sanctification is growing continually. In the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, we can never be more pardoned and more justified than when we first believe and were forgiven. We do not grow in justification. We cannot become more justified than before. But sanctification means that to set apart or to make us holy. And the Holy Spirit helps us in this process to become like Christ. This is not a one time. Remember, this is which we were justified just one time. But sanctification is not a just one-time process, correct? So it is a lifelong process. We are separated from the world. We are in the world, but not of the world. Our actions should be holy and righteous. We should think about heavenly things instead of worldly things. And glorification is the third stage of salvation and refers especially to the time when those who died in Christ and the living believer will be given resurrection bodies. So we are clear in that. So we are agreeing that. Okay, good. Amen. Ephesians 4:22-24 say that ye put off. English is hard for me, and the old English is a lot more hard for me. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which is after God created in righteousness and true holiness. In this passage, we can see three basic personal responsibilities for us in the sanctification stage. In the two first verses, we see the first two responsibility of restraining the flesh. And the second responsibility is renewing our mind to establish a Christ-like character within us. In verse 24, the apostle exhorts us to put on the new man, the new man, and that means that our changed lives might be revealing Christ to others. Remember, Christ established a Christ-like character. Now we are talking to revealing Christ to others. So God intends to use what he has produced in our lives. And that is to have a Christ-like influence in others. Remember, as a believers, peoples always are involved in our ministry. We serve the Lord and we serve peoples, you know? And so always we have to try to have the spiritual influence in others. Christ made it clear that we are to be the salt of the earth and to shine like the light of the world. Remember that passage in Matthew 5:13-16? I remember when I worked in Argentina as a tannery, and we use a lot of salt to preserve the hide, to preserve the leather. You know, and when you use for several times, you need to add more salt because the old salt is not working appropriately, you know. So, and you see when you see the difference when you add more good salt, you know. It's the same thing with the light. Sometimes we say, Lord, let me shine Jesus in my heart. How we are living as a Christian, right? Sometimes we pray very nice, but what about our testimony? What we are showing to others? And so the Lord's command us to be the salt of the earth and shine the light as the world. These verses are calling us to a spiritual leadership. And you know, Wes, when I wrote this word leadership, I found it in some resource that I did. But I think, oh man, leadership, maybe leadership will intimidate my brethren at church. But the truth is, the leadership is a word that calls us to spiritually. It does not mean that every believer must hold the same position in the church. Correct? But always we have some kind of influence in the life of others. So I won't be like Pastor Hunter. He's the pastor. I won't pretend to be like Ruben. He's Ruben. He has a position in the church and responsibility. We have another one as a deacon of the church. You know, each one of we are called to have a leadership ministry. But listen what Oswald Sanders say in his classic book, Spiritual Leadership. Leadership is influence. Amen. Influence. And here is my question. If we are a Christian and we, the question is what kind of influence we have to another, not just to a believer. What kind of influence we have in another people? So influence is the ability of one person to influence another to follow his or her lead. We sometimes call this spiritual influence ministry, discipleship, shepherding, spiritual parenting, or mentoring. But whatever name we use, the purpose is the same: challenging others to change and to grow into Christ-likeness. So, if we want to make difference in the life of others, we have to be different. We can. I don't know how to explain that because it's not that we are making the difference. It's God making the difference through us, you know? So, but if we want to make difference, we have to be different to the other. And we can add more and more to the same thing. And I have an example. When Malcolm asked me for a glass of sweet tea, iced tea, and I gave it the glass of sweet iced tea. He said, "Is this sweet tea?" "Yes, Malcolm." "Well, I like real sweet tea, iced tea." And I took Michael glass and I poured the same tea that I used the first time. So I had more of the same thing, right? So no changes. So we can add more of the same thing. I remember talking about influence. I remember this verse in 1 Corinthians 2:9-3:4. The Apostle Paul, by the Spirit, has divided the whole human family in three groups, in three categories: the natural man, the carnal man, and the spiritual man. You remember that verse. Okay. Here, first thing is, I thought that a natural man and carnal man can have any influence in the spiritual man because the spiritual man is leading by the Spirit of God, right? So, but the influence that a spiritual man can have in the carnal man, in the natural man, including to guide him to Christ, is tremendous, right? It's a bit. So what kind of influence we have in others? Here is the passage in Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 7. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And these words which I commanded thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them. Keep in your mouth and your mind this word, teach. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in the house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou lay down, and when you rise up. Verse 5, we see that God's first concern here in this verse is the spiritual servants, is that they become God-living example, being an example, but God-loving example. And the greatness of this declaration is confirmed by the Lord Jesus, who once quoted these words in Matthew 22:37. Verse 6, and this word which I commanded thee, this day shall be in thy heart. He is a parental priority. This is for you and for me. It begins with you and me. God must be all important to us, or he can never be important to our children. Our heart must be right. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou said that. That is verse 7. So Moses commanded them to be saturated in their own heart with the way and in the word of the living God. And they were to saturate it. The minds of their children with the same. Yeah, we see Moses' instruction to Israel leaders. We can see another parallel emphasis of the Apostle Paul in Colossians 3:16, and they say, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, again the word teaching, and admonishing one another in psalm and hymn and spiritual song, singing with grace in your heart and to the Lord. And the thing is, that was another word that I have in my lesson, is teaching. And say, okay, this word maybe it will be a little intimidated too for my brethren. But the thing is, they all us are teaching all the time. We teach with our example. Remember to be a good testimony? You know? And so always we teach in some way with our example and testimony. And remember what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 and 3. Remember this verse? You are our epistle written in our heart, known and read of all men, forasmuch as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in flesh, in fleshy tables of the heart. 2 Corinthians 3, 2 and 3. So we also teach when we open our mouths and give some advice, comment, and instruction. And God's concern is not just that we teach, how we teach. Right? So, be a word-filled believer, word-filled teacher, to have all the equipment that you needed to teach. So now we will go to a brief introduction to 2 Timothy chapter 3 before we go to 3:16. And 2 Timothy 3, Paul warns his disciple Timothy that in the last day, perilous time shall come, verse 1. That means dangerous time. And to survive these dangerous days, Timothy must continue in things he has been enseñado. From the Holy Scripture by his godly mom and grandmother. Remember the mom Eunice and grandma Lois, they have a great influence in the life of Timothy. Even I was thinking that Timothy was a spiritual son of Paul. But when Paul met Timothy in one of the missionaries' trip, Timothy was a believer. So, and the Bible says that a mom and grandma has a grand influence in his life, like maybe you and me, right? So that was in verse 15. Paul warned Timothy that he will see an increase of false teachers again, but false teacher, who would be ever learning, yet never able to come to knowledge of the truth. These evil men and seducers would wax worse and worse, deceiving, and being deceived. Verse 13. Timothy would need to remain assured in the truth, and the truth is his only protection of good, faulty thinking and error. So in order to reinforce Timothy's confidence in the thing that he had learned, Paul reminded him that the Scripture have a particular nature that set them apart from others' kind of knowledge with this word. All Scripture is given by God by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. Okay? For what? That the man of God may be perfect, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. These verses teach us for four important functions of the word. The Bible teaches us what is right for us, doctrine, teach us what is wrong with us, reproof, teach us how to make it right, correction, and teaches us how to keep it right, instruction in righteousness. God used the word in this way to equip the believer for ministry to others. Remember that I said people, right? To ministry, not to ourselves, to others. So furnishes unto all good work. A word-filled Christian will skillfully use the Scripture for these purposes in the life of others. So the idea in these two verses in Timothy, I wanted to squeeze it a little more, to learn a little more. So I wanted to go a little more deep, you know, because we see for doctrine and we did the first function and the seed, and maybe we don't know for what it is. And we, if we want to learn that word, that word has to be in our heart. I think that when we study the word of God, we say, I learn from the Bible, is because you have that in your heart, and you will use anyone that you need it, and you know where to find it. Okay? So the Scripture teach us what is right, and that is talking about doctrine, doctrine was important for all men, and this letter that was written by the Apostle Paul. And it must be important to us if we are to be word-filled Christian. The fact that the Bible is profitable for teaching implies, of course, that it is necessary to study it. We need to study this word every day. God chose to communicate his trust in written form, his word. It's the way that the Lord communicated with us, right? I have a passage just I will mention to you that we have a good example. You remember in Acts 17, 10, and 11, they talk about the brethren of Berea, that they search the scripture daily. There is a passage that we need to imagine to use and try to, how you say, imitate. So study his word is obviously not a one-page instruction. In one of my researches, I found, it said, the Bible is like an instruction manual, like when you buy a new computer. Okay, this is good. But the Bible is not just that. You understand that? That you can buy a very expensive computer. Yeah. Most of the time we don't read instruction. That is the problem. We don't read instruction. And so, and we made something wrong and say, oh, maybe these computers had, oh yes, has that instruction. But a computer instruction, a manual instruction, just deal with something material. The Holy Bible is not just an instruction manual. It's the word of God. It's an instruction for our life. The Bible, his word, deals with what is eternal. Okay? So it's not just a one-page instruction. What the scripture says is important because of what the scripture are. The scripture is inspired. Right? So that means God breathed. My wife say, don't pronounce ED, breathe. So, okay, the scripture is breathed. So to survive dangerous days ahead, we and our children like Timothy must understand that the word of God is inspired by God, literally God breathed. The scripture reader were not setting for their own ideas. They were reading the exact words that God desires to have preserved for every generation to follow. Listen what Apostle Peter said, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but only men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, 2 Peter 1:21. So the description is infallible, no error, no mistake. Since the scripture of God is breathed, they take on the nature of the author. He is omniscient. He knowing all things, and therefore is not ignorant of anything. He hasn't left out anything important, nor has he revealed anything that can be contradicted in the future. Right? He has revealed completely and truthfully everything necessary for men to know. He cannot make mistake. The scriptures are authority. The Bible is the final authority of salvation. It is the exclusive source of information about how a man can be redeemed from his last condition. The Apostle Peter, again, in Acts 4:12, said, neither is there salvation in any others, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Ruben used this verse last Sunday, so Ruben is copying my message. I was worried for that. So the Bible is also the final authority on how man is to live in his salvation. It is the final authority on sanctification. Again, the Apostle Peter say in 2 Peter 1:3, say, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Question: how we will handle heart according to the Bible? How will help those people that the Lord put in our way? How will we be a spiritual influence in those people? How can we help them? Sometimes we want to help them with our own idea. Right. And that is totally wrong. We have a great source in our hands, his word. We have to know his word very well to try to help those people that the Lord put in our way. Let's look about which the Bible teach us with authority what is right, but for which Christians are prone to come up with their own solution. Paul mentioned to Timothy in perilous time. It was dangerous in the time that Paul wrote the letter, but it is dangerous for our time today, and it will be worse and worse for the future for our children and grandchildren. So we have to be a good example and be in the world and be a good testimony for them. In Acts chapter 7 and 8, we can see the great persecution the early church has in those times. And we remember in the end of chapter 7, the martyrdom of Stephen. And remember who was there? Saul. He wasn't Paul yet. In the beginning of chapter 8, Saul were there, consenting, approving what happened. How he was one of the persecuted of the church. And what happened with the church in Jerusalem? What say the verses 8 say? And Saul was consenting unto his death, talking about Stephen. And in that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea, Samaria, except the apostle. And I remember years ago, we were studying the book of James. You remember that we used this book for Sunday school? So in the book of James, talk about to be mature in Christ, how you will respond about the different situation that you have in your life. It all depends how mature in the Lord are you. Because truly the Lord is working in your life. When he is allowing to have all those kind of situations. Well, the James and Peter, and First Peter and Second Peter, they wrote this three book to encourage these people that were dispersed out of Jerusalem. And so, listen, one of the words that James, he said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into the diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let the patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. James 1:2-4. Listen what the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, just for a season, if need be, ye are in heaven through many fold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, may be found into praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Is this your situation? Are you on pain? Are you? Sometimes I say, hi, how are you doing? I'm fine. Really, are you fine? Are you okay? Are you? If you are pain, so you can read these verses, and that would be a great encouragement for you and for me. The scripture teaches us what is wrong. Reproof. Reproof. 2 Timothy 3:16 also tells us that the inspired scripture have a second function, and they are used by God to teach us what is wrong within us, and how to wrong the wrong is to be addressed. We must know what the Bible said about how to reprove others and are not that are not right. We have several examples the how Jesus reproved. We have example in the Old Testament how God reproves Moses. You know, we have several examples in the New Testament, but we can go, we don't have time to go through all three these things. But we have to be clear, the second function of the Bible, his word, is to reprove us, to show us what is wrong. And the third is the scripture teach us, one thing that I want to mention, when you are in those kind of situations and maybe are you not okay with some of our brethren. So the reconciliation action always is available. And reconciliation is the heart of the gospel. And God is an expert at this. So always we have time to be reconciled. The scripture teach us how to keep it right. I'm missing one. What is wrong? How to fix it? The scripture teaches us how to make this the wrong right, is that is correction. So Paul told Timothy that inspired the scripture have a third function in the life and the believer, correction, and that is they teach us how to make the wrong things in our life right with God and others. And the first one is how to keep this right, and that is in his word. To keep it right has to be with instruction, has to be with training, has to be with a child training, education. So it has to be with our master, and I has to be with a disciple and a discipler, you know. So once we are back on the path, the Bible tells us how to stay there and make further progress. Training means literally child training, and this implies a process where God teaches us how to deal with all of life. Just a parent work with their children over the years to train them in various social grades, morals, relation, skill, and useful habits. So God, through his word, train us in all areas alike, so that we can know what pleases him. And finally, verse 17, for what? That all men of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto God. You know what? I will close with this, to make this short, just with two phrases. That means maturity and service. Maturity and service. Maturity, because we learn from his word and we get all the equipment, all the knowledge of his word, so we are equipped to all good works. So that means maturity and service. Remember, we have to be tools in his hand to use us. But I found in my tool bags, sometimes that I have tools that doesn't work well. Why? Because it's broken, it's dirty, it's not in the right place where I need it. Somebody used it and you know. So, but here in the Santa Biblia, we have all the tools that we need to influence in another life, to help another. But it's not just, remember, that we help us first, and after that we will help others, right? Another thing that I want to tell you about the Bible is that the Bible, another book, and the Bible won't tell you about how to be saved, how to the Lord love you, and won't talk about sin, you know. Another books and good book can be talking about this book and what he has inside this book, but this is the only one. We can have another book can help us. That is true. But this is the only source that we have, the Holy Bible. I hope that this lesson can be a blessing for your life. It is a blessing for me.